This evening I'm going to be preaching on a marvelous text in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at the first part of it, verses 3 through 14. In the original language, this passage 3 through 14 is 202 words. It's all one sentence in the original language. It's a long sentence. It's a beautiful sentence. And John Calvin said about this sentence, it is a most beautiful explanation of the grace of God that should set the heart of every believer aflame. And it set his aflame. That was his motto, a burning heart. My heart I offer to thee, O Lord, promptly and sincerely. And it was this passage, and among many others, that brought that great response of a heart aflame. So listen as I read this beautiful portion from the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now begins that beautiful sentence. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blemished before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So far the reading of this marvelous passage of Scripture. Before we open this beautiful passage, let us seek his guidance and prayer. O Lord, your amazing grace amazes us. It is the wonder of grace. O Lord, help us to understand this. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Lord, bless us now this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, fellow heirs of the kingdom of God, this passage of the Bible is all about God and our salvation. God the Father and our election, God the Son and our redemption, and God the Holy Spirit and the application of our salvation to us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this beautiful passage emphasizes the work of each of the great persons of the divine Trinity. And each of the sections ends with the same phrase, to the praise of his glorious grace. First the Father in our election, then the Son in our redemption, and then the Holy Spirit in the sealing of our redemption or sanctification. all to the praise of His glorious grace. How can anyone ever miss that? What a glorious thought that is. So let's look first at the origin of our adoption, because this whole passage is really about adoption. Now, adoption is a common thing. That is human adoption. When a child is adopted, that child was abandoned by its mother, who did not want to keep the child and chose adoption. That is a good choice if they're up against it and do not want to keep the child. It's surely 1,000 times better than abortion. So adoption is a good thing for an unwanted child. And so the child is unwanted. And the child actually doesn't choose his parents. The parents make that choice. In the olden days, the parents who would desire to adopt would go to an orphanage and look over the various children that are in the orphanage, whose parents either are deceased or have abandoned them, and the state has claimed them and placed them in an orphanage. And so the adopting parents look over the ones, and probably they say, well, this one looks pretty good. This one looks like could be a very healthy child, so let's take him or her. We are very familiar with the word election. Every 4 years we have a presidential election, and every 2 years we have a congressional election. That kind of election is really very, very different than the divine election, God's election. Because in the political election, the various candidates go around throughout the country and say, I am the one you should choose. I am the one who has your good at heart. I will give you jobs, I'll give you good pay, I'll give you advantages in health and all of the various areas of your life. I will make the economy do well. I will be the one you need. So please choose me. Now, is there any similarity between a political election and divine election? Well, the only similarity is that a choice is made. That's the only similarity. For the rest, there's no similarity at all. We do not come to the Lord and say, oh Lord, choose me. We sing, don't we? 'Tis not that I did choose thee. For Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee hadst thou not chosen me. And another song which teaches the same thing, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true, no, I was found of Thee. So the situation in divine election is clearly laid out in the Bible and in the creeds of the Reformed faith. And here is an article in the Canons of Dort, section chapter 1, article 7. It talks about election and it defines what election is according to the Word of God. It's a beautiful answer. Election is the unchangeable purpose of God, whereby before the foundation of the world, He out of mere grace, according to the sovereign good pleasure of His will, chose from the whole human race which had fallen through their own fault from their primitive state of rectitude into sin and destruction, He chose a certain number of persons to redemption in Christ, whom He from eternity appointed to be the mediator and the head of the elect and the foundation of their salvation. That elect number, though by nature neither better nor more deserving than any others, but with them involved in one common misery, God has decreed to give to His Son, Jesus Christ, to be saved by Him, and effectually to call and draw them to His communion by His Word and Spirit, and to bestow on them true faith, justification, and sanctification, having powerfully preserved them in the fellowship of His Son, and finally to glorify them for the demonstration of His mercy and for the praise of His glorious grace, as it is written in His Word. That's what election is. It's a marvelous truth found throughout the Bible. And it's so important to begin at the point of beginning. There's the work of surveying. And someone talked to the surveyor as he was surveying an area that was going to be laid out for homes. And he said to the surveyor, "What is the most important part in surveying?" And without hesitation, the surveyor said, "It's so important to begin at the point of beginning. If we don't begin at the point of beginning, the whole thing will be out of kilter. Homes will be misplaced. Roads will be put in the wrong places. You've got to start at the point of beginning." And so the surveyor has to find the point of beginning. And from there, they measure and determine what the dimensions are, what the boundaries are, what the lots are. It all depends on the point of beginning. And now in the matter of salvation, it's so important to begin also at the point of beginning. And the beginning is not man. It's not that I did choose thee. For Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me. We, by nature, as Paul says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, "You did he make alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." We did not choose him. We couldn't. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me. It's all of grace, without any merit of ours. And that's why that song is so precious, "Amazing Love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" It's all of grace, unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We're no better than anybody else. But in God's amazing grace and love, He has claimed us as His own. It's grace. It's grace that you're here tonight. It's grace that I am bringing the Word of God to you. It's not anything that we deserve or that we have earned. We've earned the opposite. We have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has. There's none righteous, no, not even one. And the fact that any are saved at all is totally of the grace of God. Like Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 and 10, we have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. Not even the faith is of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can never say, "I did it." This heart would still refuse thee if thou hadst thou not chosen me. It's grace from beginning to end. O love of God, how strong and true, eternal and yet ever new. Eternal love. It is motivated only by God's loving, gracious heart. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that all that I am, I owe to Thee? Thy wisdom, Lord, has fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. It's all of grace. And so the Apostle Paul, in this marvelous passage, he says, blessed, oh, absolutely blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is to receive all praise, all blessing, the wonder of it all. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing. Every blessing that you and I receive, we can trace back to the giver of it all, which is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the giver of every gift we have. That's why that beautiful doxology is, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And He begins at the beginning, even as He chose us. In Him, it is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Not because we were holy and without blame before Him in love, but in order that we may be holy and without blame before Him in love. The purpose of election is that we be holy. The purpose of election is that we live for Him. That's the purpose. That's the immediate purpose. And the ultimate purpose is to the praise of His glorious grace. But He chose us in Christ. You know why He did it in Christ? Because God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Why is it in Christ that He chose us? Because we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were burdened with guilt, and by ourselves we could not be pleasing to Him. And so God sent His only begotten Son in our place. As you recall the words of the Bible, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We couldn't pay the price. But God took Jesus, His only begotten Son, and laid all of our iniquity upon Him. That's why John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God laid our sin on Him. In Revelation 13, it says He was slain from before the foundation of the world. So He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And God had it all arranged. That was His plan and purpose. That the sin of man be atoned for, be covered by the blood of Jesus. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Jesus Christ is our substitute. So He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That was His glorious plan. No wonder when Paul ends in Romans chapter 11, the ends the great doctrinal presentation of justification by faith alone. He ends with that glorious doxology. For from Him and through Him and unto Him are all things, to Him be glory forever and ever. To God belongs all the glory, not to ourselves, but to Him. And so the focus is on the sovereign grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to describe the work of Jesus Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us Isn't that a beautiful word? He lavished the grace of His Son on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. So Jesus Christ paid the ransom. In Him we have redemption. Now redemption is that we are delivered from slavery. And the great illustration in the Old Testament of deliverance of slavery is Israel, enslaved by Egypt. They had to make bricks, and then there wasn't any straw or clay to give them to make it with. They just had to make it. It was grinding slavery in Egypt. And God heard the cry of His people, and He sent Moses to deliver them. And they were delivered through the Red Sea. That deliverance of Israel from Egypt stands as a marvelous illustration of how God delivers us from the slavery of sin. He delivers us through Jesus Christ, who is our Passover. The tenth plague was the killing of the firstborn of those who were not under the blood. And Jesus is our Passover. We are under His blood. He died for us. He took the pain. He took the punishment. He took the chastisement that was due us upon Himself. And with His stripes we are healed. All of this was done in Jesus Christ, who became sin for us. Imagine that. Him who knew no sin. Jesus was pure, perfect, sinless. He was the Son of God and the Son of man. And God laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. And He punished Him for our sin. Oh, what a gospel, what a gospel. And it's all a free gift of God to all who believe. We are called upon to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. That's an infinite distance. No wonder John Wesley, that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, that great hymn, that's the hymn of the church. There was no other good enough than He. He paid the price of sin and set us free. And then the apostle goes on to describe the work of the Holy Spirit so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So the Lord redeemed His people through the blood of Jesus. And then He sends His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we read right here, we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You know what that sealing means? When the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, He gives us the strength to believe. He gives us the understanding of the gospel to receive it and to believe it. And He seals us. And that sealing is a beautiful idea. That sealing means three things. It means that we've got the real deal. It's a guarantee of the genuine character of the salvation which is given to us. That seal means it's the genuine one. But that seal also is a mark of ownership. God puts His seal on us, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal. If you know the Lord and if you believe in Him, it's because the Holy Spirit is in your heart, and that seal means it's the real deal and the Lord owns you. And the third thing it means, He protects us. That sealing protects us from anybody tampering with us. Oh, that reminds me of that first Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism, which really summarizes all of this. What is your only comfort? In fact, what is the only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I am not my own. But I belong with my body and my soul to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who has fully paid for all my sin with His precious blood on Calvary's cross. And He delivers me from the tyranny of the devil. You see, that's what sealing means do. It prevents me from being tempered, drawn away by the devil. The Lord seals us. He protects us from the devil. In fact, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Another passage says, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And so the Lord preserves us from the power and the tyranny of the devil. And he watches over me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. And he makes everything serve my salvation. And he gives me the Holy Spirit to assure me of this and to make me heartily ready and willing to live for him. That's the gospel. That's the whole story. Do you believe that? Is this what you embrace with your whole heart? And you know this Jesus is yours. You have confessed him. And if you haven't, you will. And you can come to him with all of your problems. And you can come to him with all of your weaknesses and sin. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful. And he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is so good. He is so great. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. And no one loves you and me like Jesus does. He gave his life for us. He knew who he was dying for. He was dying for you and me. His name means, Jesus means, he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep. I know my sheep, and I call them by name. And no one shall ever snatch them out of my hand. In fact, Jesus says in John 10, no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then Jesus makes this awesome statement, my Father and I are one. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his tender breast. Do you love him? Do you know him? Do you serve him? Have you ever told anyone else about him? You can never talk enough about Jesus, the beautiful Savior, the King of creation, the Son of God and Son of Man. Truly, I love him. Truly, I serve him, my light, my joy, my crown. This is our Savior. This is the gospel. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. How vast the benefits divine which we in Christ possess. We are redeemed from sin and shame and called to holiness. 'Tis not for works that we have done. These all to him we owe, but he of his electing love salvation doth bestow. O Lord, we praise thee for this marvelous gift of salvation, for the gospel of our salvation. Lord, write it upon our hearts. In Jesus' great and glorious and wonderful name, we pray. Amen.